Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Buliwa Gabaza, and for today, we get into a conversation about the contribution of the alcohol beverage industry to the South African economy. It's always great understanding, you know, what's going on in the economy and the various components that are out there. We talk about mining, we talk about hospitality, technology, telecoms, tourism, you know, retail, all of these different sectors. And it's always great understanding what's going on out there. We often hear that, you know, alcohol is one of those very, I think they call it a resistant product, because in many different market environments, you tend to see people continuing to buy alcohol. But we're going to be hearing from an expert, that is Dr. Shamal Ramesa, who is the head of research, you know, over at the Drinks Federation of South Africa, to get a sense of some of the realities in the sector and what is going on. Dr. Ramesa, greetings to you today.
Hey, greetings, Madhue, and greetings to all of the listeners as well. Thanks so much for having me on your show.
So, could I call you Shamal?
That sounds perfect. Absolutely.
All right, great. I think where I want to start is there's an interesting stat that I saw recently. It was put together by the team at Lesaka, together with Gigi Alcock, who's famous for writing the book Casinomics. And they did an estimate of what's going on in the township economy. And one of the numbers that they came up with was to say that taverns in South Africa are contributing 110 billion rand to the GDP of South Africa every single year. And obviously, if we talk about taverns, the big thing in at a tavern is alcohol sales. Does this sound, I'm not sure whether you have access to the same data or a different data set, but does this sound like a realistic number in your estimation, just as a starting off point for today?
Madhue, I think it's absolutely realistic. If you look at the recent economic report that we just released, and that shows the economic contribution of the alcohol industry in terms of South Africa, either via to its GDP or you know, in terms of job creation and so on, you'll find that the direct contribution. So this is the sales of alcohol and all of its first round impacts equates to about 226 billion. So the 110 billion that comes from the tavern is very, very possible because the taverns are kind of the main marketers of alcohol in South Africa.
One of the things I'm then keen to understand, because I like the fact that you say first order. First order and direct, because in economics we know that you know, a certain product or a certain industry has a multiplier effect. You correct. Put 1 rand into the alcohol industry, and that rand, you know, sort of goes around, you know, the tavern or the bottle store, the wholesaler, the dealer, and then you also have the actual manufacturer, whether it's Heineken, Castle, SA Breweries, or wherever it is. Then you have the transport people, you have all of this big ecosystem. Do we have an idea of what that 200 or so billion looks like when it's multiplied out?
Yeah, so when we looked at that multiplier, it was 1.3. So as you said, you know, for every 1 million in GDP produced by the industry, an additional 1.3 million was generated in the economy itself. And so, you know, this methodology that they used here was what they call a standard Leontief multiplier methodology. And the inputs were you know, very credible in terms of getting these values. So we looked at, you know, the standard use tables. We looked at industry data. So this comes directly from the manufacturers. And we also looked at StatsSA and SARS data. So I think, you know, when you looked at the methodology and the multiplier, it was definitely something that was calculated correctly. And so, yeah, so the direct impact we showed to be the 226, but we've also then looked at the total value chain, which is quite incredible as well. So you'd understand it better than I do, Padiwa. When we talk about total value chain, we look at all the upstream linkages and all the downstream linkages. So I think the easiest way, for us to kind of explain what do we mean by the total value chain based on these linkages is that if you look at that value, right? Firstly, it equates to about 482 billion rand. Now, that figure doesn't just come from the production of alcohol itself. It includes all the businesses connected to it. So both upstream and downstream. So all of the behind the scenes activities that goes along with this category of alcohol is what's calculated. So for example, when we talk upstream, we talk about the farming, you know, of grapes and barley and hops, which are critical to the rural areas, especially when it comes to, economic injections and also jobs and employment opportunities. But meanwhile, you also have downstream activities where everything from bottling to packaging, distribution, the retail outlets, and also then the hospitality sectors like the restaurants and bars and so on, which depend heavily on alcohol. So when we talk about this contribution, we're looking at a full value chain. And the industry, you know, phrases it quite interestingly. We say from seed to sip, and that is the value chain that we look at, you know, when it comes to the alcohol sector. And that is how come the 482 billion Rand, which we've shown now in this report, is linked to upstream and downstream linkages.
Can I confirm that if you were to use that number of 482, that brings it quite close to being 10 or so percent of GDP, right?
Well done. So if you look at that 482, we say that the tax on that day is about 97 billion. Which is about 6.7% in terms of government tax revenue. But when you look at the direct contribution itself, which was the 226 billion, that is 3.6%. So your value of 282 is very close. About 10% of the 482 is very close in terms of its calculation.
All right. Now, the drinks for the drinks. DFSA, the Drinks Federation of South Africa. What are we looking at here? Industry body? Is it a collective? Who are you actually representing in the sector?
Yeah, great question, Mudiwe. I think the Drinks Federation of South Africa is a fairly new entity, and I say fairly new because it was largely born out of COVID, and this is the time where the industry itself realized that it requires or needs what they call a unified voice that represents the alcohol beverage sector. Now, prior to this, I'm not too sure if the listeners are even aware that alcohol is divided into three main categories. So we talk about beer, wine, and spirits. And prior to the DFSA, each one of these categories had their own national bodies. So we had beer, which was the Beer Association of South Africa. We had wine, which was previously Vinpro, it's now SA Wine. And then, of course, we had the spirits, which was largely represented by SALBA, which is the South African Liquor Brand Owners Association. Now, what started to happen is that when there was negotiations and so on that needed to happen, each category had their own agenda, for the want of a better word. That they needed to be heard. And it finally dawned on all of the major manufacturers, and we're talking about all of the CEOs of our founding partners. And our founding partners then were the likes of South African breweries. It was Diageo, Pernod Ricard, Douglas Green Bottling, Heineken. And at that time, it was Distell. So Distell and Heineken have now merged. And so they all the CEOs actually of these major alcohol brands sat around the table and realized that there is a need to have an industry body that has the unified voice of the industry. So it, the DFSA itself brings together the producers, the value chain partners, the manufacturers, all under one body. And our vision is therefore to create a drinks industry that is recognized for its significant contribution to a prosperous, just, and safer South Africa. But at the same time, it really places a lot of emphasis on advancing responsible drinking and responsible trading behaviors as well.
Now, when it comes to alcohol in South Africa, maybe you can contextualize it for us a bit. But my understanding, of the sector in South Africa compared to the rest of the African continent is that this is probably the most developed, industry on the continent when it comes to the level of manufacturing, the level of distribution, the different channels, that are available, because you can probably get beverages at a tavern, at a liquor store, at a bar, at a hotel, on an aeroplane, all of those different channels. The fact that I know that some of the players in the sector even have pieces of software. I'm thinking of Touchsides, which was created by Heineken, I believe. Where they can actually observe in real time, sales of alcohol at different establishments across the country, and that type of thing. At the same time, you look at a player like AB InBev, which is probably, and SA Brewery is probably one of the biggest players, globally. So, maybe you could put SA's industry into context for us relative to either Africa or maybe globally.
It's a difficult one to to comment on, Mudiwe, purely because I haven't really been following the sales of alcohol across the continent or globally. But in terms of our local content, yes, we do know that it's a major contributor in terms of the economy itself, but also something that's very relevant is its contribution to employment, which hardly anyone speaks about. And so if we had to consider, not just the sale of alcohol and what it does, but also the manufacture of alcohol and what it does, it's quite astonishing to show that in South Africa, for example, just alone, the industry is responsible for just short of 500,000 jobs. All right, which is equivalent to 3.3% of the total employment sector or employment opportunities, I should say, in South Africa. So when you look at those 498,000, so almost 500,000 jobs, right, it also then expands onto the number of livelihoods that the industry supports. And when we looked at the, quantifying it, we found that it's equated to about 1.15 billion livelihoods. That the industry supports, and it generates about 215 billion rand in terms of household income and activities through that sector. So while I can't comment on how do we fare compared to the continent and globally, I can comment on the results that we have from our economic report. And, it shows that it does have this hugely beneficial value to the country from an economic point of view, but also job and opportunity, employment opportunities as well.
All right. And maybe related to that, understanding, of course, that there's a lot that's going on in that industry. I'm sure that there must be someone who might be, listening in on this conversation and wondering to themselves, from what Shamal's saying, there's a lot of money that's flowing in this industry, and someone might be looking to get in right now into that ecosystem. You spoke about upstream and downstream linkages earlier on. From what you can see, along that value chain, where does the opportunity seem, seem to lie? Should I be coming in to sell alcohol? Should I be coming in to manufacture my own alcohol, or should I be looking to maybe be the person who's brokering the deals? Like, you know, where are people making money in the value chain?
Now, unfortunately, we don't have that level of detail from the report, Mudiwe. But I think, you know, there's huge opportunity for entrepreneurs in this industry. We're starting to see a huge spike in terms of locally manufactured brews, so craft beer, craft gin. I mean, our wines are amongst the best in the world. So in terms of manufacturing, distilling, and then you know, we are starting to see an upward shift in terms of consumer spending now, given the recent drop in the interest rates and fuels coming down and so on. So there's also opportunity for entrepreneurs to now invest, you know, into bars and even restaurants and so on, which largely relies on the sale of alcohol. So I can't really tell you where the gold mine sits, but it really is an industry that has been constant. And it's something that can be rewarding, you know, if you do it the correct way, the responsible way. And we place a lot of emphasis from the DFSA on trading of alcohol responsibly. The reason is, it's no secret that alcohol is always having a negative connotation associated with it. And this is largely due to, incorrect statistics that's usually quoted in the media. It's usually because, people are looking to vilify something, and then it's easy to point the finger at the alcohol industry. But we are, using our avenues to do proper, credible scientific research. And I'll share with you some of the findings that we are going to be releasing, in the upcoming months. And this was looking at, firstly, in terms of South Africa as a nation, what is the prevalence of alcohol consumption? Now, if you had to look at this conversation and why we're having it, is because the narrative driven by the World Health Organization in terms of South Africa being amongst the worst drinking nations in the world, I will be open and honest to say, is severely flawed. And the reason we say that is because when you look at the statistics that have been quoted and the methodology in terms of how they've got those numbers, there are too many holes in terms of the mechanisms of their research. Now, we then invested a lot of time and effort and resources into producing a nationally representative study. So we're looking at more than 10,000 participants in the study, which has just been complete, by the way. And you would see that in South Africa, most of the media says that we have a abstinence rate. So 61% of our population has an abstinence rate, which means that only 39% of our adult drinking population consume alcohol. Now, if we had to be honest with ourselves, we would realize that South Africa, we are a country, a nation that has a proud heritage in terms of a drinking culture. We do have initiation ceremonies, we have after tears parties, we have celebrations, we have a culture of drinking. But we then can say without a shadow of doubt that 39% is severely low. But because of that number that was incorrectly captured, and they looked at exit data in terms of liters of absolute alcohol per capita. And when you do that division, you find that our individual liters of absolute alcohol per person is way above what it should be. If you can imagine, it's simple math. We've got a smaller denominator, a standard numerator, and therefore that figure looks really terrible. When we've done the latest research, we show that, in fact, more than 50% of the adult drinking population in South Africa can consume or consumes alcohol. But the good news, and I must stress this, is that from that drinking population, over 50% of that population have shown that they drink in moderation. All right? 10% of that drinking population shows that they only drink occasionally. And that's like someone, for example, like my mom, who would have a glass of champagne on New Year's Eve or on a special occasion. So more than 65%, I think, of our drinking population drinks either occasionally or moderately. So there are a few, and you know, we don't deny that there are a few South Africans that have an unhealthy relationship with alcohol. These are the ones that tend to abuse it, that tend to engage in excessive drinking behaviors, or even in risky drinking behaviors like binge drinking. But is that problem as bad as the WHO makes it out to be? Our data shows it's not. So so a long story for you, Madiwe, but really to frame where we are in terms of a drinking nation, we are not as bad as the World Health Organization and our own government makes us out to be.
Okay, cool. No, it's always great when people have, I guess the data points that they can stand on when it comes to actually clarifying what's going on out there. But tied to that, I'm then curious to understand, you mentioned earlier on that South Africa's alcohol industry is basically split into three: beer, wine, and spirits, right?
Yes.
From your study, what are South Africans actually drinking? In there.
So unfortunately, that was also beyond the scope of this study. All right, but we know as a nation, you know, from historic data that beer is the nation's favorite. All right, in terms of consumption, but something also that we are starting to see grow in terms of consumption are what we call ready to drinks, right? Ready to drink. So these are your flavored alcohol beverages. So it's your vodka and a mixer that's already pre-mixed in a bottle and so on. So there's also a huge uptake in those type of drinks. And then obviously wine. We are proud wine drinking nation. We have the best wines of all. Yeah, amongst the best wines in the world. And then obviously, you know, our spirits. But something that's also quite interesting, Mudiwe, is that we are also now seeing a huge uptake in the zero and low alcohol beverage sectors or categories, sorry. So when we say zero, you've seen the Heineken Zero and, Castle Zero and all of these zeros. And the industry itself is placing a huge amount of resources towards promoting these products. And the reason is, in order to have a responsible drinking nation, we have to have a balance, between alcohol consumption and then obviously zero or no alcohol consumption without having to take that social aspect away. And I must admit, we are seeing a huge rise in that sector as well.
One of the things that's tied to one of the things that's tied to what you're saying is the fact that I'm sure I'm not the only person who's asking themselves the question to say, well, if all of these alcohol companies, because I have seen it, I think I've seen a Savannah Zero, I think I've seen some Heineken Zeros, and I think I've seen Castle also doing something similar. Do those sales in any way count towards the stats that we are talking about
Absolutely.
Today?
Absolutely.
So it counts?
Yes, it contributes, yes. Oh. So we're looking at the beverage sector. So absolutely, those values are accounted for in these numbers.
Okay, because, yeah, okay, fine. I will give it to them. I always thought that when we're talking, beverages from an alcohol sense, we're just doing the ones that actually have alcohol in them. And I think over time, it's going to be interesting to see what proportion of sales is going to be coming from, those zero products that the companies, also have. I think before we end off for today, one of the things that that I think we could possibly end on, I had opportunity to go through, what was going on in the, to go through the report a little bit. And I was just curious about any color that you can give to us about the manufacture of alcohol and what's sold in SA versus what is being exported, because I'm sure that feeds into the calculation. Because at the end of the day, even if it's sold abroad, it's still money that's coming to South Africa because of NSA breweries or something like that. How is that conversation?
So if I just understand you correctly, Madiba, we want to know what percentage of our sales are due to exports.
Yeah.
So I'm sure that, you know, we can work it out. I'm not too sure if the reports delved as deep into that type of calculation. But I do know we proudly do export a lot of wine and also sometimes beer from the country as well. But I'll be lying to you if I tell you the exact figures, would you offhand. So maybe if I can go through the report again, I can share that information with you.
All right, great. And then the last thing for us is, future looking. If you, as the people that put this study together, if you peer into your crystal ball, how do you see, the mix of everything that we saw this year? Do you expect that, maybe this time next year, if we were to have a similar discussion, that the trends remain the same? Or do you expect that there might be maybe a shift somewhere in that mix?
Yeah, it all depends, Budiwe. So in terms of whether the categories grow and which categories grow, that will change the mix and then obviously change the values that we're seeing. So, what's also quite important to make mention of is that although we have this data now in terms of what the industry contributes, the purpose behind it is to really now look at how the industry better spends their money on their CSI programs, their harm reduction programs, and then also the intervention strategies for problem areas as well. So this report will definitely or surely be used in conjunction with the other research that we're doing in terms of quantifying the prevalence of alcohol. We also then look to profile the drinker types in South Africa. So whether you are a occasional drinker, moderate drinker, heavy drinker, we take it a step further. We also then try to, with the research, look at, what percentage of South Africans have an alcohol use disorder. And the study is designed in such a way that we can drill down into different enumeration areas. And that, together with the information we have in terms of spend and so on, will help us as the DFSA and the manufacturers to design more focused intervention strategies. And then obviously we've also now completed another set of research which looks at the qualitative aspect in terms of what are the drivers for these type of drinking behaviors. So you'll see it's a full circle strategy that we're putting together in terms of realizing that the product does have the ability, if it's used irresponsibly, it does have the ability to cause harm, but the industry are standing up and they are putting their hand up and saying that we do understand that it has that potential, but let us, take a stance and try and help to resolve those issues. And that's why we're so proud of all of the research that we are doing, because it's not just a tick box exercise. It's really to inform better policy decisions. It's to inform better intervention strategies. It's to really get our hands into communities that have issues with alcohol. So really, that's why we're excited by all of the research that we're doing. And I'll be glad to have the conversation with you next year to show you what's come of it and how it all comes together.
Any other trend or data point that you want to highlight from the report before we let you go?
From the report, no, like I said, the numbers are there. It's plain to see in terms of contribution, livelihoods. So all of these have been already spoken about, Madiba. So I don't think there's anything more that I need to say.
All right. So on that point, that's how we end off this very informative discussion, just talking about the place of alcohol within the South African economy. As you can hear, quite a big contributor in terms of, just the raw rand amount that is flowing through that particular industry. Some of the headline numbers that were given to us is that, you're looking at over 200 billion rand. I think the number that's quoted is 226 billion rand, which is roughly 3.6% of, the country's GDP. That's what we're looking at. And I like the fact that Shamal was able to give us a sense of direct versus, you've got the direct, but you've also got, he didn't use the word ecosystem, but he used the word value chain, right? He made a distinction between your direct contribution. But when you look at the value chain as a whole, that's a number that is sitting, closer to half. Half a trillion rand, actually, that is being contributed because, you've got your multiplier effects, you've got all your different upstream and downstream linkages that he mentioned earlier on. And then he's also talking to us about household impact as well. And then also talking about the number of people that are employed by the sector. That's 500,000 people that are employed by the sector. And they said you're looking at a multiplier of roughly 1.3. So it has been, really great understanding. And also, I think one of the things that surprised me, is the fact that we do see this increase in the zero products that are coming out as a way to promote some of the responsible drinking and all of that. We've seen a number of manufacturers going that route and at least having a zero option of some sort as part of their catalog. And, Shamal just giving us some insight to say that that is a growing industry, and we're both curious to see what the development of that one is going to look like over time. And then I think last one that he pointed at is, I believe he called it ready to drink, sector that is there, some of the more ready and prepared products, and he said that is also an area of growth that will be there to definitely keep an eye on. So that's been it for today's edition. We were in conversation with the Dr. Shamal Ramesa, who is the head of research over at the Drinks Federation of South Africa, giving us some insight into the contribution of the alcohol beverage industry to the economy of South Africa. Dr. Ramesa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Good evening. Thank you. It was an absolutely enjoyable conversation and a pleasure. Cheers.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter with hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So from myself and the rest of the team, it is a good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.